Cliffcentral.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on Cliffcentral.com.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is that time of the week. It is the midweek motoring show. It is Auto Central, proudly brought to you by autotrader.co.za, your trusted motoring marketplace. So we have a fairly full studio again here, but no guest, no fancy guest. It is just our panel of, misfits.
Yeah.
It's a panel of misfits.
Excuse us.
It is. I mean, we've got everybody left, right and center here, but we're going to have a good time with it. And a topsy-turvy show here. I think we've got a fair amount of motoring content because it just has been a week of launches. There's just been launches left, right and center. We've been so busy that we haven't been able to do our normal sort of 9-to-5 job. It's actually fantastic. We love it.
Yeah. This is your 9-to-5 job.
Not radio all the time, man. All right. So, yes, there we go. Of course, let's introduce everybody in the studio. To my left, SA Speed Queen, Vormity Janssen van Rensburg. How are we doing?
I'm good, thank you.
And until the dying day, I'm going to use your full name. You know that,
it's
hey,
okay. It's okay.
You've gotten used to it. Hey, you've sort
it's
of
okay.
Accepted.
I got such good news this weekend, so you
really?
Can use it. Yeah.
Really? Got good news?
Do tell.
You sold the Audi.
I am the only... No.
Not that good.
Almost. Actually, I'm getting there. I'm the only girl that's doing the bike of the year.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Well done.
You were nominated for jury.
Yes.
Congratulations. Round of applause. Awesome. No, that is a massive accolade. Well done.
Yes, thank you. I'm so excited. Honor. It was so cool to even just start the first process of choosing which 15 bikes we're going to test.
Yeah. So it gives you an idea of what they still have to go through.
Yeah,
going
and
forward.
I can tell you just now when you're ready, which bikes that will be. And then the end of this month, we're going away for a weekend. Just riding bikes.
Sorry for you. Yeah, jealous, but so sorry to hear.
No, look, it's good. And I'm the only girl with... Exactly.
Frau Alien.
You know?
Yeah.
Look, at least I know the boys. I mean, I get them. It's been a few years.
the skin is fairly thick.
But I wouldn't mind some female company on the...
Because
on
you just know that all the PR and everything around it is also just going to be male.
Yes, exactly. You know, so my opinion, I have to enforce a little harder.
Exactly. Oh, jeez. Yeah.
So if your opinion will stand out more. Because you're the only female on the jury.
It's pitching it to such a demographic. Yeah. It really is.
I hope so. Look, everyone knows me for who I am, and I'm actually quite excited to say that, you know, they'll be coming on the show soon. I don't know if you've heard
of
Crazy Harry and Matt. It's called The Bike Show.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Matt Duran's on them, yes.
Yes, okay, and so Harry's hair is always up to here. So we said, come, let's bring them on. And then we talk about doing it before the actual Bike of the Year.
Lovely.
And then a nice talk afterwards, you know, to actually see who's the winner, first, second, third.
I mean, it's very similar. I mean, it's pretty much the same as what we go through with the West Bank Car of the Year. And, Auto Trader's got some fantastic news to announce there as well, which we will in due course with regards to the West Bank Car of the Year. But it's a very similar process.
Yes.
In terms of the judging and the selection process. And it is a year-long process, or at least 9-10 months or so.
Well, yeah, you know what? The process is getting better because it used to be all for one, and then, you know, like a while. I'm saying now with respect, and then you stop where we stop, and then it's a jaw, and then, you know, so I didn't necessarily always agree with the way it was done, but they've become very strict since Pirelli's on board.
And that's the thing with a major sponsor, they need to make sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's dotted.
100%. So they're doing things properly.
Okay.
And they choose, you know, good journalists to go on, and at least you need to choose someone that can write properly.
Yeah.
So I can tell you quickly what the bikes
are. So then why did they choose you?
Because I can ride.
No, I know. It was a bit of a stab.
Says he who's learning from me.
Exactly.
Okay, so can I tell you quickly what the bikes
are? We'll get into that. Hold on to that.
Tell me when you're ready.
Because we got here. And then we also joined Lawrence Mini joining us in the studio as well.
Sorry, we were just taking over yet.
Lawrence. We've got introductions still to do. Lawrence, how are you doing?
Oh, good, no complaints.
You've also had a bit of a busy one, and you had a power launch that we're going to hear all about yesterday.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you're still sort of buzzing from that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Is that the jealous one, the one you were so jealous about?
Very much so, yeah.
Yes, he's still very angry with me.
Can we say?
Did you hear what he got to drive, though? What he's had.
Audi, the R8.
That's the voice of Ty Woods, and Ty's in here as well, and he's also going to be waffling and bending your ear a little bit.
Yeah,
so
just a little bit.
So welcome, Tyron. Guys, yes. What are your handles there?
Lawrence Mini 1.
At Lawrence Mini 1.
I'm Ty Woods 101.
Ty Woods 101.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys with all the numbers. Choose something unique, then you don't need a number.
Easy to remember.
Well, your name is easy to remember.
Yeah, it's easy to remember.
Okay. So, yeah, if you want to get in on the conversation, you can join us there.
Something unique.
There's SA Speed Queen for Ville Marie, myself.
Which is unique.
Which is unique. At Chad Lukoff. No number, nothing after it. No, no.
No one wants underscore, your name
nothing.
Surname.
You know, seven digits and your mother's maiden name. No, none of that. It's not a password.
I thought about taking my two initials and then bolting it onto the AT from AutoTrader. But it just wouldn't work out very well.
No, no, you'd have to underscore it possibly. Lawrence has just,
sorry, just
Lawrence
clicked
has
now.
Just clicked now. Oh, I needed my sunglasses for that light bulb moment. we'll let you guys just draw the mental pictures. This is the mental imagery of theater of the mind,
I've been trying to work out how I could do it so that it wasn't bad.
ATTW.
Yeah, that could also work.
Yeah, ATTW. That could work. You know, you could.
So it stands for AutoTrader Tyron Woods.
You can't go Tyron Woods AutoTrader.
With initials, yeah.
Yeah. ATT Woods is ATTW.
Yeah, ATT Woods.
That works.
You know,
something. Let's get some opinion.
That's it. Yeah, it's like something of the sort. Don't change it now because the people have already gone to Ty Woods 101,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, exactly,
100%. So, all right. We're going to be chatting about things, like I said, we had plenty of launches in that we went on. Vilmarie, what's happened in your week? The last week, anything?
Look, I haven't been testing because obviously now with the bike of the year coming up, the bikes are not as regular as what the cars would be, you know, in terms of new models and that. So I'm just holding out now completely and waiting for the
selection. You say they got 15 bikes.
15 bikes, and you know what? Because the thing is, I've already now tested one of them, but I can quickly give you the rundown of which the bikes are, and I must just quickly find it here, and I can tell you.
Let's hear
Honda
those.
Africa Twin, the DCT.
That was the one that we were chatting about with the dual clutch box and the
correct.
Automatic and that.
So now I did the normal, okay? I've tested the normal. So the DCT is one of the bikes. The Honda NC750X.
Now, they had the NC750C, wasn't it?
It was the C.
It was the C, which was like a commuter. I think the C was like a commuter sort of nomenclature there.
Now, this
there.
Is the X.
And now the X, what is that? Now, more a dual-purpose-based one, or do we know?
I actually don't know, because it's the one on the list that I didn't choose.
Murphy's Law, I would go and I would ask about the one that you have absolutely no cooking clue
about. I haven't shown much interest in it, so I don't know. But I will tell you more when I'm back. Then there's the BMW S1000 XR.
You did the launch on that one,
did
you not?
Yeah,
and you came back. You had rave reviews of that one.
Yes.
So you were very impressed.
I'm very impressed with this. So I'm happy to see it on different terrains and things that we're going to do now.
Mm.
Then there's the BMW 1200 RS.
Adventure, correct?
G1200. Yes. But you know, they're a little big for me. So I've got to find a pull-off block and a stopping block. But otherwise, I'm cool. Triumph Tiger Explorer XCA. So it's very similar.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Triumph Thruxton. I don't know how you say it. Thruxton. T-H-R. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's now a bit of a retro bike,
completely
isn't it?
Completely different. So the thing is, although these bikes are very, very different, but they still, like they were saying in the cars, we still vote on them based in their category. You know what I mean? Like last year, the Triumph Tiger 800 XCX was the winner. What was second? The Kawasaki,
H2. H2 came in strong.
Yeah, so now they each still win in their category, although overall there's also a first, second, and third.
Yeah, because now they've made it a little more like the car of the year, where it's actually a range that's winning and not just a specific
model.
Correct,
yes. Okay. And then there is an overall 1, 2, and 3 based on everything, pricing, you know, value, etc. It's a cool looking bike.
Yeah, is there a coolness factor?
Because the Thruxton's taken it.
Yeah,
100%. I mean, I'm just looking at Lawrence and he's right on the money. He's quivering here.
Like, I'm not too clued up on how these all work and what the judging criteria is, but if you were going to put them all out and you're going to ask me to choose, I've already made my decision.
Really?
100%.
Well, then, I mean, out of all these, that is actually the only one that looks
Pretty much like a retro vibe.
Yes.
There was one that
Ducati also had one.
The Ducati Scrambler.
2 years.
Was it not the Scrambler?
It looked very similar to Scrambler was last year.
Yeah, Scrambler came in last year.
But it was supposed to be on the list for this year. Remember, it hasn't been on the bike of the year. But it it actually didn't make the final.
Was it it was launched in that sort of gap phase.
Exactly.
Geez. So it happens with the cars as well. Some of them, they launch and they just launch just after car of the year is announced and just before the finalists are selected. And it's just, it just really
hurts them. A tricky one, but it's quite interesting that you like that. I'll give you feedback. And if your money allows for it, you can go get it.
It's a typical middle-aged sort of approach to motorcycling.
You want something that looks good, you can stop anywhere. It's a real cafe type.
Yeah, cafe racer sort of vibe to it, you know, without having to go out. And, I mean, Lawrence and myself, we both come from a customizing background in terms of cars and that. So, you know, anything that we get hold of that has a motor, runs on fuel or has wheels on it is getting modified, plain and simple.
Yeah. That would include my lawnmower.
Your lawnmower, my office chair, you know, these things are modified. It just happens like that. My toaster's modified.
This is a bike that you can ride and still wear your brown work shoes and still look the part. You don't have to have the leather jacket and the kit and all that kind of stuff.
You don't need to look like a Power Ranger.
Yeah, 100%.
So, okay, so then we have the KTM 1290 Super Duke GT.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Kawasaki ZX-10R. Which I'm nervous of because I love it and I don't want to fall in love again.
Remember, I was on the launch of that one.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't ride launch. It was just press launch, you know, sort of, I don't want to say media launch, press launch. It was just, the launch of it. And it seemed very, very impressive. I was blown away by the tech in that bike.
Correct.
In terms of what the Japanese manufacturers are bringing to the biking arena, in terms of their tech, the wheelie control, the traction control, the lean
the
control.
The sensor, the braking, the sensors,
everything.
What's it? KBS or Kawasaki KIBS.
Yes.
Kawasaki Intelligent Brakes.
Intelligent Braking
System.
Absolutely fantastic, yeah.
So the one I didn't, also there's another one I didn't choose, and it was a Ducati Panigale 959.
Why would you have not chosen that?
Look-wise, yes, because I was a little disappointed last time, but I think I'm not being fair because it was the 858 or 85 or something.
Yeah, and this is now...
you remember the heat with...
That's right, right. You were
it was giving off really
hot... Our hot thigh comments.
Sorry.
But I don't think this is the one. So I can't actually remember.
Ride a Panigale, they said. It'll be fun, they said.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, my thighs are on fire.
Hot in color, that was it.
Yes.
Okay, so the one I'm very excited about, Ducati X-Diavel S.
Oh, yes. I was on the launch of that as well. Mm. And... yes. Now, that also has a slightly different look and feel to a lot of the other bikes out there. While the Thruxton comes in as a more classic sort of approach, the X-Diavel has a modern, contemporary cruiser.
Correct.
A cruiser sport bike approach.
I don't know if I like it because I like the actual X-Diavel because it's got a real, how can I say, it's almost like your, do you remember the old Yamaha, what was it called? Not the MT... one like a drag bike. You sit up position, and it was
the drag star.
It wasn't the drag star.
It was
MT-01,
the Harley Davidson, wasn't it?
No. MT-MZ-01. Yes. Okay, MZ-01. But there was another make as well.
Store.
So it was like a bat out of hell, but it couldn't turn. But it was fast.
What was that other one that was also big? It was that 1800cc massive cruiser.
Yes, I get the name now. I can't think of... But
Suzuki Boulevard.
The Boulevard, yes. Like it's got a Boulevard sort
same
of vibe
kind of,
to it.
Same kind of power in that.
Yeah.
But now the Diavel, the actual the Diavel, the one that I'm in love with, is more of a like really strong position, upright sitting, and it's got the power. Where now this, it's changing the whole sitting
Which
position.
Which one is this now that they...
The X-Diavel S, is going
S.
the more cruiser route.
Oh, okay. So it's almost like a soft tail.
Yeah, they've changed. You can change foot pegs, position, brackets, and all kinds of things.
A little more for the poser than for
the speed type of...
You know, guy that's wanting to carve out a twisty lane.
Yes.
All right, okay.
So it'll be interesting to see the review on this. Then the Multistrada 1200 Enduro, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah,
I'm not going to try stop. I'm just going to try ride.
Yeah.
And then the Harley Davidson Dyna S. I haven't been on a Harley for a very long time, so it's going to be interesting. Victor Magnum Husqvarna 701 Supermoto. Really excited about that.
I thought they made chainsaws.
They do. They do. Like with Honda, they make a variety of things. And
okay, just checking.
I mean, Husqvarna is one of those.
So far from the people that I know in the industry that's actually really experienced riders, they seem to really... enjoy their bikes, the enduro bikes as well. So I chose Supermoto, and I'm glad that's the one that came in. Yamaha MT-10. Now, what a pretty looking bike. If you haven't seen it, then, you know,
I rode the MT-07 just briefly, you know, in some of the training in that, and I was like, it's a large bike. It's got a lot of, but wow,
the
how comfortable.
Do you know what it looks like?
Yeah.
I think the MT-10 goes more towards the, what's it, like your Triumph, there we go. Like
your
675 type
of. More your Street Fighter style. All right, correct. All right, yes.
So excited about that too.
Yeah. No, that's a good looking bike, hey?
So you'll have.
I hate to say this, but I think I'd probably take that over the XD Oval.
Maybe. I don't know. I can't speak for that one yet.
I could say that the two of them are almost competitive in an approach. They got a very similar sort of cruiser/sport bike
could be,
you know, wind in your hair sort of vibe to it.
And then I don't know the Magnum, the Victory Magnum at all, so that and the Harley would obviously be, it would be between them. So it would be really interesting to see. Look, it also depends on which journalists as well, unfortunately, I think. But they've done it enough now to know who to choose.
Yeah.
And then, you know, age groups as well. Like, there we go. And I would have never thought that, Tyron, that you would like the...
Yeah.
The Thruxton.
But then in my core, I'm more like, I just love classics. So that's why it appeals to me.
So that's kind of what you like.
Yeah.
So you see, so it really depends on what the journalists... But there is a point scoring system. So
and you get to ride all of them.
All of them.
Oh, fantastic.
The whole weekend. So some you want to give away quickly?
Yeah, of course.
And others you want to hang on to.
Yeah. And I suppose it's nice that you've got a variety of guys that ride sport bike, cruiser bike, adventure bike, and that sort of thing in there. Maybe you're not liking an adventure too much. Well, that's okay, because there's a guy over there that, you know, really keen on adventure, and he's going to put it through its paces properly.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing it an injustice by sitting there and tippy-toeing around in the dirt.
Which gives it a good balance with each bike. Everyone gets to really ride each bike, and there's an overall opinion, call it that, judging. And then it gets a fair position.
And
at the end of
is
the day.
It paper-based judging, or do you sit around a table and have an argument?
Paper-based.
Okay.
They're doing it properly.
Because I'd love to see that argument. All the journos arguing about which bike is the best.
Well, the way that they do it now with Car of the Year is now they've moved on to a tablet
electronic system
in that. And basically you've got X amount of points, and you can only award like a minimum of 3 to a vehicle, or a minimum of 1 to a vehicle. And a maximum of 8 or something like that, or
and
7.
Yeah, and if you go back and fix something, remember what he said? They pick it up and they go and check why.
And they go and check why it was changed.
Gosh.
And that's, no, but that eliminates some of the favoritism that they felt had been encountered.
Sure.
You know, Porsche won it 3 times in a row. And of course, as soon as they... Was 3 times in a row?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, 3 times in a row. And when that came out, then they said, whoa, listen, no. Now there's something wrong here. Twice in a row. It was twice in a row, I think.
It was 3 years in a row. I remember it was a big fuss.
Yeah, it was a big fuss about it. Yeah. And this year, of course, it changed up and around. It was Volvo XC90. And they said, okay, well, finally, the system has resolved that. You know, it's X, Y, and Z. But there was a lot of... It was the Porsche's 3 in a row that prompted all that. No, but there's favoritism, and it's the richest company, et cetera, et cetera. You know, they're buying off and paying off. Very much like a legless runner getting 6 years or something of the sort.
But again, someone who doesn't understand the process will always have that opinion.
That's it. You know, it's people that aren't educated and aren't informed as to what goes into the judging process. And that's why we had the guys in here explain to us. It was, I'm forgetting his name now.
Justice.
Ruben.
Yeah, Justice was here, but Ruben also.
Yeah, Justice. We had Justice and Ruben in, and they were explaining what goes into it, and it was nice to sort of clarify that. So I'm quite keen to see what comes from that.
And also, you've got to understand, it's quite high risk for us too, because it's a big group for us to ride together, and it's not necessarily slow riding. You know,
there's a bit of pace, and you're putting it through its pace.
So you've got to trust the journos as well. Make sure they can handle groups, they can ride properly, they can ride different types of bikes. Because now you jump off from one to another. Straight away, brakes are different, handling's different.
You've
got to be able
to
adjust.
Your limits are different,
correct. So it's a process. It's fun. So I'll do my videos, pickies in between.
Fantastic.
And then,
it'll be nice to see what happens in the end.
Cool.
Good luck.
Let's see how it pans out.
See how it pans out, yeah.
All right, well, we're chatting about new bikes. Let's talk about new cars. And Lawrence, let's hear it from you. Let's just pound seat, boyki. Come, lay it on us. What did you do yesterday?
I had the honor
of taking the new R8 V10 Plus around Kyalami race circuit at
the
pace.
The new R8 around the new Kyalami. Hands up if you have never been around the new Kyalami here.
Sorry, guys.
I'm curious there's about one the plus. I want to know, okay, what does the bloody plus stand for?
You get the R8 V10.
Yeah.
And then you get the R8 V10 Plus. Now, the Plus basically just means it's got a couple of extra little things on it, some carbon fiber bits here and there. It's got a little bit of more power, and it costs 200,000 Rand more.
So that's what the Plus means.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of plus there, yeah.
All I can say about the car is that it is difficult to put into words. Driving a car that moves faster than your brain can think.
Really? Was it that
slow?
Ouch! Shots fired.
We'll keep it.
I'm sorry.
We're passing it around, yeah.
It's the first session that we had in the morning, they basically split the track in half.
Yeah.
So, and the group in half. So half of us went up the one side of the track, half of us went the other, and you got to up and down a few times, change drivers up and down a few times,
right.
Came back in, coffee break, and then we go out in the track and they removed all the cones. And then it's basically keep up with a guy from Germany.
No, don't you just love it when they do that?
Yeah.
Change the markers.
I feel sorry for the guys that brought all those nice Pirelli tires over because we were just burning through tires. It's just, you come back into the pits after three hot laps and the whole side of the car is just covered with rubber. It's insane.
And you were saying, listen, that these have got a serious set of clamps. The new R8 has got a serious set of clamps under it. Let's start out. What's powering it?
V10.
Okay.
Naturally aspirated.
Actually strange that they stuck with the naturally aspirated V8 when so many of the other guys are
brought
going
up. And the reason for that is the sound.
Really?
That's it.
It does.
It's the sound.
It does have a good sound.
No, but I mean, we still commented on it. We did AMG GT, which is not quite, but sort of pecking there in that sort of arena and area, you know, over 2 bar for a car.
The R8 Plus comes in at 2.97. The plain old R8 is 2.7. So, yeah, it is. Look, if you got the kind of money to buy one of these, you're not really worried.
Would you?
If I had the money, absolutely.
Oh,
really?
Because it is 0.2 of a second slower than an Aventador.
Which, I mean, is
from 0 to 100.
Yeah, V12.
And it's about 4 million Rand cheaper.
Wow.
So, I'm sorry. That's
okay, but does anyone in our country even look at that? What did you call it?
The Aventador.
The Aventador.
We know a couple of guys that have got them. Yeah.
The Aventador. They don't battle
to
sell.
Who would pay that for a car?
Well, they said Lawrence asked the guys, you know, who's going to buy this, and their answer was
high-end executive clientele.
And they said, how many are they going to sell a year?
They're aiming for about 20 to 30 units.
Let's call it roughly 2 a month. Let's average it and say that's about 2 a month.
I'm struggling to sell my
Audi. Yeah.
Well,
but now the launch was actually a dual launch because we had the R8 V10 Plus that we were testing, and then also Audi's launched their new Audi Sports sub brand.
Okay.
So essentially, what's going to happen is select dealerships around the country are going to have a division on the showroom floor.
Yeah.
Where all the R and RS models will be sold.
Okay.
Now, in each one of those divisions, there will be an RS specialist. One guy that has been trained on the stuff that we did yesterday.
All right.
And has received accreditation from Audi Sport in Germany.
In terms of now just product knowledge, or in terms
product
of driving?
Driving the works. They will know every single thing there is to know about an R and RS model. To give a little bit of background, 1980s.
Yeah.
Group B Rally.
Oh yeah, no,
we're fans.
Yeah, no,
Quattro.
On. Yeah, Quattro.
That was the birth of Quattro.
Yes.
And the R group.
Okay.
Which is actually not part of Audi, believe it or not. It's actually part of Quattro GmbH.
Really? Yes. Okay, so Quattro GmbH is actually
they've now morphed into Audi Sport division.
All right.
Which is very much like your M division and AMG
and AMG performance divisions, yeah.
So pretty much what BMW and Mercedes have done, Audi is now following suit with their performance division in select dealerships.
Okay.
So there are certain dealerships around the country where you'll be able to go in and get a high performance RS, S3 or
and,
Q3.
And it's not going to be sold to you by the same guy that's selling off A3s and A4s.
Who doesn't know what he's talking about. Yes.
Okay.
So, and that makes sense because BMW also do that.
If you're spending 2.9, I want to speak to a guy that knows.
Yes.
All right. I don't want a guy that just he's parrot fashioning the brochure.
Well, he's thinking his commission.
The same stuff that I could have read off the website. Exactly. Yeah, and he's just seeing eyes. Okay, fantastic. How many branches did you say they're going to?
13.
13 around the country.
I can rattle them off quickly if you want.
Let's hear. We're
1st of July,
which
Audi Centre Cape Town, Audi Centre Durban, Audi Centre East Rand, Audi Centre Hatfield. Menlyn, Northcliffe, Pinetown, Rivonia, Sandton, Johannesburg, Port Elizabeth, Somerset West, and the West Rand. So that is 8 dealerships in Gauteng, 2 in Durban, 1 in the Eastern Cape, and 3 in Cape Town.
Wow.
Sure.
Interesting. That's a very big footprint to start with, eh?
Yeah,
it is actually. I just like the fact that most of them are up in Joburg, so it's...
Well, we know. I mean, Joburg is generally where a lot of the money is made, so it makes sense that... And a lot of people, I've found this out along the way, that even if they are a Bloemfontein or a Durban or a Cape Town or something, they end up purchasing from a Johannesburg dealership, and they just get the car shipped down to, you know, whichever dealership can just do the PDI.
Yeah. Pretty much.
It's interesting though, Rivonia and Sandton, because it's close. So it just shows you, I think that, and I mean, this is some of the research that I've read up on lately. People that spend that kind of money want to travel close. Yes. They don't want to go far.
No.
Some of them don't even want to travel.
Exactly. They want to go really close,
bring me the car.
Exactly.
This is a car you could buy online if you had the cash. Mm. Do you really need to test drive this?
No, I think you'll be excited.
If you know cars, like you understand cars.
Yeah, no, you'd still want to drive it, eh? You would still want to drive it. There's something about it. A car talks to you, and it's something. I'll regale you with a little story here.
Look, if I like the look,
and I'll try and make it very quick. It was 2001, and I went to a motor show in Orlando. It was the Orlando Motor Show, and I sat there, and I'd been trying.
So that's long ago, bud.
2001 Orlando Motor Show was 15 years ago. Lawrence was there. We were both in the States together at the same time, and we went to the motor show, and I spoke to a guy by the name of Eugene Letite, and I won't forget him. And I said, listen, I've been trying to organize a test drive in the new Subaru WRX, the Impreza WRX, and 2002 was going to be the first year that the WRX was available in the United States. And I said to him, listen, he came back. I said, I want a test drive, but none of your dealerships are getting back to me. He said, okay, hold 2 seconds, let me make a call. So he climbs on the phone, and then he's busy making this phone call to one of his dealerships, something of the sorts. Little did I know that this guy's a pretty big wig in Subaru, you know, America, Subaru North America. And halfway through the call, he sort of just silences it and turns to me and he says, what color do you want to drive? I'm like, what do you mean, what color do I want to drive? I just want to drive a WRX.
Gold wheels.
Yeah. I said, yeah, well, if it has to be, it's going to be Mica blue with the gold wheels.
Yeah.
But I said to him, what difference does it make? He says, no. If the car's the wrong color,
you're not going to buy it.
You're not going to hear it.
Okay.
Cars talk to you.
Yeah.
And if it's the wrong color, you won't understand it.
Sure.
It's all the senses we're talking
about. It is.
See, feel, hear, touch.
And when he said that, I knew that I was in good hands with a guy that understood cars.
Yeah.
If it's not in the color that you want it, chances are you're not going to connect with
it. If you say that, I'd take the R8 in any color.
Well,
especially if it's
red,
given,
white,
hey,
blue, and charcoal gray.
Charcoal gray. Yeah.
Yeah. The problem with all the carbon fiber panels.
Yeah, you lose
outside,
it. You lose it.
They disappear into the charcoal gray. You actually want a white one.
Yeah, you want the white one. You want that contrast.
You want the white one.
Yeah.
And
I was going
like
to say,
like you said,
it's
it spoke
not for
to
everyone
me.
Else to look at. If I know it's there, and I can look
the
at
thing
it,
with
I can
the,
see myself
with the,
in the
with the R8. It's quite simply, it's doesn't look like a supercar. Mm. It doesn't feel like a supercar. But it drives like one.
Yeah.
It's not loud and shouty like an Aventador. It doesn't have all sharp corners and stuff. It looks like it'll cut you if you get too close. It looks like a marshmallow, really.
Oh, no, that's bad. You can't say that.
But it looks like a marshmallow filled with Tabasco sauce.
Isn't it?
That isn't, hey? Yeah.
Because that's exactly how you're going to feel when you take a bite out of it.
That's
I still walk, it's 24 hours down the line, and I sit there and I cannot believe that the speed that you're traveling at. You from second gear to fifth gear, and before you know it, you're at the that corner at the bottom of the straight, which I think is going to be the place to sit when Kailangi eventually does open for racing.
Now, you were doing it on the back, so you're doing the back stretch there
behind the paddocks, yes.
Behind the paddocks and that. So that's that back straight heading up into Sunset, because that's still the same. It's Sunset, Clubhouse, and then you're onto the S's and that. Mm. And yeah, well, Sunset is, yeah.
Because it's you can't really call it a hairpin, because it's a corner and then it doubles back on itself.
Mm.
It really, it's a very sharp left hand and then it cuts back.
Oh, okay.
There are going to be so many guys that are just going to go straight.
Oh, okay. You're talking, you're talking West Bank. Okay. Mm. So climbing up the hill, you were hitting mad speeds. Mm. Okay. Jeepers.
And just like, you're going into a corner at 140 and it's just planted.
It's in shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're saying there's so much electronic wizardry on it that it basically puts that power in the hands of the layman.
Yeah, look, I'm not a good driver, I'll be honest with you. I like to think I can drive.
You shouldn't. I'm glad you're saying that.
I like to think that I can drive.
It's humility, because every guy believes that two things. He's great in bed and he can drive. And nothing breaks his heart more than figuring out that he sucks at either of those.
Yeah. Okay. So both.
Or both.
Yeah. So, yeah,
your man card, please hand it over.
Can I see your score, please? What's going on?
I like to think that I can drive.
Yeah.
But when you're driving at that speed, like I said, your brain can't keep up fast enough to what you're doing. And even if you go into the corner too hot, too slowly, wrong gear, the car sorts it out for you. And that makes you feel like you can drive. Yeah. Like a champ.
Oh,
that's hot, eh?
I know.
The choco, are you looking also?
And I'm just looking at the cockpit yet. Is it the interesting thing is about it narrow?
It is. It's what they call a monoposto, like a cockpit from a Formula One car.
Yeah.
And you do, because that steering wheel just makes you feel like a Formula One driver. It's full of buttons, and they've basically put everything that you need to touch on the steering wheel.
It's a bit of a mid-2000s Ferrari approach to things.
Yes, your on-off button, the sports selection, all that, it's all there.
Yeah.
You even have a little button that you can adjust the severity of the exhaust. That is quite busy, hey?
Ah, yes, so I see that there.
So what if
right,
you accidentally turning and pushing it off? Can it switch off?
No.
Okay.
Then buy an A4.
So,
just so, you know, like us girls, we do makeup, we use the elbow. We turn.
What?
On your back.
The safety message, proudly brought to you by.
So, besides the fact that all of the buttons are on the steering wheel, everything else that the driver would need to interact with is within 30 centimeters of the steering wheel.
Of the steering wheel, okay.
So,
it's all safety.
It's you won't ever have to reach across to touch anything. Everything is right there.
Yeah.
And it just gives you this feeling of I'm actually in like a little cocoon.
Now, you also said that these are all the Audi Sport vehicles that are doing the international launch in that, which means that these are on German plates and are all left hookers.
Yes. Left-hand drive. It was the first time I pulled away and smacked my left hand into the door looking for the gear lever. Then remembering this is actually an automatic and it has paddle shift. So
yeah. And that's the thing. They're only going to be available with DCT gearbox. Is it still the S-tronic gearbox? Or is it a
7-speed S-tronic?
7-speed S-tronic. Okay.
You need it. The speed at which this car accelerates and you need to move up through the gears.
Yeah.
You don't want to be taking your hand off the steering wheel.
If you buy a car like this, do you get... clearly, you're getting value for money. Well, I mean, it's an expensive car. But you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
But do you get to use it, you know... To its max, on our roads.
It's the same with the bike scenario for me.
And that's one of the reasons why I am a little envious. I'm not going to say jealous. I'm envious of this man's opportunity to go
on
and solve on Kailangi. Yeah. You know, it's very seldom that you get given the keys and said, try break it. It's very seldom that happens.
Which they did, by the way. Calvin and Sheldon van der Linde, who were on site giving the journalists a couple of... They managed to break three of them.
That's not good. How? Crash brake?
No. They drove them so hard that one car went into limp mode, and then they cooked the brakes on the other two. Yeah, the car wouldn't move. So
we are talking about Audi Sport drivers here. Okay, these are guys that compete.
I tell you what, those two youngsters, I can't even hold
the Vanderlinder blood runs thick.
They are so good at what they do, and you don't doubt the fact that Audi went the right route. Picking those two boys to go and race for them overseas. Yeah. I mean, Calvin is in GTC Masters, and Sheldon is
Audi's TT Cup or something.
TT Cup, yes.
Yeah. So I mean, these guys
showed
us
video footage, and the way they just
how old are they?
I'm not really sure. 16
and 19, I think.
Sheldon isn't old enough to have a driver's license. The chap from Germany that was giving the presentation actually asked him, "So, Sheldon, how did you get here today?" And he was like, "Oh, my parents dropped me."
We should poor kid. On,
you know, yeah. You're racing brilliant. Overseas in Europe and your parents are still driving around in South Africa.
I mean, well, that's when most of us started.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I want to get back to your question, though, about being able to use it. And that's always been the appeal of the R8 for me. And I've got a soft spot for the R8 because it is that everyday supercar. I'm going to call it a supercar. It's not just a sports car. Yeah. It's in a package. It's got that marshmallowy outside that isn't vulgar on the eyes. It's not going to crash into each and every pothole and speed bump that you encounter. Yes, it sits low in that, and it's a performance-orientated car, but there's still an element of practicality to it and drivability and reliability that you can use it on a daily basis you know? Yeah. And it's not that loud and shouty where you go deaf because you're driving it. And that has always been a bit of the appeal. You've got that supercar packaging in just a luxury sports car.
Yeah. And basically, you go into the MMI system and you can set the car for everyday use. You can run to the shops and go and do your groceries if you wanted to. If you put them in it's basically just a net. There's no back seat.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that with a Lambo.
No.
Because you will never be able to get over the speed bumps at Sandton. Yeah. So, you know, that's why I say Chad nailed it there. It's the soft spot because it is a usable sports car.
Okay, so this is a daily driver for very rich people.
That's it. Yeah. You know, you do get people that say, I bought this Ferrari 458 or whatever it is. I'm going to use it every day.
Yeah.
But that is the 5% of
1%
of Ferrari owners.
It's like he's retired already.
Yeah, the rest of them are parking it and only taking it out on weekends. Why? Because they're on a limited kilometer insurance policy or something of the sort. Oh, you have a sugar daddy.
Yes.
Something of the sort.
Do
know?
You?
No, but for this?
Wrong show, guys. We'll save this till later. All right, we're going to take a short break, a little commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting a little bit about finding your car in parking lots. I think we're going to chat about that and talking about Tesla's first self-driving auto fatality. We're going to touch on those briefly because we've got some more Audi content coming your way. I'm going to tell you about a launch that I was on, and we need to cram us all into 20 minutes. But we'll be back right after this.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. AutoTrader New Car. The choice is yours.
Keeping it real. On CliffCentral.com.
And we're back. Yep, there we go. Mumford & Sons with the Wolf. And now we're going to chat a little bit about a little handy little product. And I don't know if we want it or if we really need it. Many thanks. I'm trying to get my paperwork out here. And it's tracking your vehicle on the cheap with a smartphone.
Yeah.
Now, one would think that that's like vehicle tracking. Because you're South African.
It's just for those who lose their cars, I think.
It's not really. It's like a close proximity tracker for those that lose their cars in parking lots.
Yes.
Happened to me before, have to admit, underneath the Michelangelo in Sandton.
That's what happens when you drink so much.
First level. I ended up on the other side.
How much free booze was involved?
Yeah, I just don't get that.
None, actually. I just lost my car in Sandton.
You know what I'd use this thing for? I'd put it on my wife when we go shopping.
To find out where she is.
To find her, because I have a habit of whenever I walk
losing
out
wife.
Of a shop, I always turn left. I don't know what it is. And she's
got to hold hands with her.
You're going the wrong way. We've just come from there.
He's got the solution.
So just hold hands with her. She can't run away and spend your money.
So I'm carrying the shopping.
Maybe
can't hold hands
she's
and carry the shopping.
You intentionally. Yeah, it is shopping.
She's trying to drop me. Yeah,
she'll think it's romantic. You think it's efficient.
Exactly. Flowers.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So, in any case, American company called Tracker without the E, so it's a bit of a Tumblr sort of approach.
It looks
R.
like an earring. It could work.
It looks. They say it's the size of a coin, and this is if a coin is the size of, I don't know, a makeup compact, because it is about nay big.
Yeah.
American $1.
Yeah, it's like a
like the old one.
Dollar. Yeah, the old one rand. You just gave your age away.
Yeah.
kids of today, they think, hey, one rand is a tiny little jobby. No, but we had one with a spring bookie on it.
Yeah, and you could buy stuff with it.
Dude, that was our money for the week for Tuck Shop, and you went boss.
You could actually spend it. It wasn't just trash.
And Wilmarie's blushing you because she also knows about it.
I do remember that one rand.
And that was, and you were so cool if you had a one rand coin, because some kids were still being given one rand notes.
Yeah, shit.
There was a one rand note. Okay. That. 2 rand note. I've still got 5 rand notes around. That stuff
I've got
exists.
A 2 rand, a 5 rand, an old 20, old 10.
Okay, we're digressing. So
we are.
So you're not this is not like you can't leave it in your car and use it like a tracker and the insurance companies will back you because this is what you use.
I haven't seen anything in any of their write-up and their sort of their marketing material that says, oh, you can find it up to X amount of distance.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, it's just, they're all just talking about you can find it.
Do you think your phone, because you put it on your keychain or whatever, and your phone picks it up.
And your phone picks it up with a free directly app.
It's not going
But why would you put it in your keychain? You're carrying it with you.
Yeah, your keys are with you.
Find yourself.
That's when you get home from work and you put your keys
you
somewhere.
Find
you
your
arrive
keys.
At your mate's house.
How because they're saying that it's got applications like for cars, so you'd leave it in your car if you're wanting to find your car. Attach it to a pet's collar.
Yeah.
Okay, so there must be a little bit of range to it, but I just don't know that it's going to be tracking it while this thing travels through, the Kalahari.
No, exactly.
I think you're going to be a little
pooch.
But then
you won't get it back anyway.
But in any case...
But I think it's typically for those Lawrence people losing it in shopping.
Hey, no. I'm going to fall on my sword here, and I've done it as well, and admittedly, O.R. Tambo.
Sandton Underground and the airport. But now the airport is very clever. They actually, you have now those painted pillars, so you can take a picture of I'm on E7, Bay 52.
That's exactly what I do. And
then they change
this.
The colours.
Yeah, and then they change the colours. No, listen.
This happened to me, though.
There was a
while you were parked.
They were busy. No.
There were a number of years, actually, where...
Mainland actually did it.
Yeah, where O.R. Tambo, each and every time that I went there, the layout was different.
Yeah.
And you could... But I went in over there last time. I can't go in there now. And now the parking's over there. And now it's over there. And just through that, I couldn't remember which parkade I was in, which floor I was in. Now I have this habit, if I am leaving it, and especially if I'm going away for a weekend or something of the sorts, I can't remember that it was in E5729. So what I do is I take a step around the back of the car and I take a photo with my phone. Bang, that's where it is. Okay, that reminds me that I'm in level E, or level 2, block E, and then I go and find the number.
There
it makes life so much easier.
Person.
It's very clever.
No, but it's just, it's using a photograph. No, when you start stripping things like motorbike gearboxes and that sort of stuff, you learn to take photos.
Yeah, geez.
Okay, take photo before. Trust me.
And facts. Then your phone bombs out.
Yeah. Ooh.
Well, this device I've is only it. Like 450 Rand. So
they say $29. So yeah, it might be handy. I don't know. I think there's other ways around it. You can take a look at a TrackR.
Well, what? It's a nice gift for someone with... What do you call that? Losing your...
Yeah.
Stick to the back of your
memory.
Cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, if you're sitting with Alzheimer's. Exactly. Yeah, what do you call it when you forget stuff? she said as if to prove my point.
Whoa.
Oh, you get my drift.
only just.
Speaking of drift.
Okay, all right, yeah.
We're going to get to it.
All right. We're not going to talk about the Tesla, the Model S fatality yet because we've got to.
Just tell the listeners what happened. Someone died in a self-driving vehicle.
In a self-driving car and that. So it was a little bit of an anomaly. They didn't see the traffic line recognition camera didn't detect what was white line.
And
what
scar.
Was sky
yeah,
and what
trailer,
was the white
was a trailer,
size
apparently, of a trailer.
Yeah, white side of this trailer. And it detected that was sky.
It blended into the sky. I heard that the guy did an illegal U-turn across the road.
I think the tractor was making an illegal U-turn. Tractor with trailer.
Yeah.
Made an illegal U-turn across the road. And the car didn't see it.
Because the guy was watching a movie and then...
Now, in order for the system to work, you have to have both hands on the wheel. So he was clearly sitting there with both hands on the wheel, one hand, but his attention was completely diverted, which is exactly actually why this autopilot exists. So it is a little oopsie, but Tesla claims that they've done 130 million miles.
I saw that.
And only now
and one fatality.
You know what?
It's a fantastic record.
Yeah, compare that to any human being and they'll win.
That's even safer
down,
than
so,
flight.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's even safer than flying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's impressive so far.
I'm just hoping that one day it'll make its way here.
It will, but we need to, our infrastructure needs beefing up. So please, kids, vote carefully.
Because again, this is all the line painting, that kind of thing,
it's
which
exactly
is what we
that,
discussed.
Yeah. We discussed that with
we
the
do not
detection.
Have
yeah.
that in
we
place.
We don't have the infrastructure,
no.
yeah. All right, now I want to chat to you about, I was just showing Vilmarie a little video here, because last Friday, Hyperhatch time, I attended the launch of the Focus RS.
And now it's my turn to be jealous, because that was the one I wanted to do.
We should have swapped.
We really should have.
I mean
schedules did not allow.
But
anyway,
schedules did
I
not
would
allow.
Have
but in any
Lawrence.
Case, Focus RS, and I must say, I went into this because there's been so much hype around it on the internet, I didn't want to read a thing about it. I didn't want to go in there with a preconceived notion and a bit of an opinion already developed before I've even sat in the car, touched the car, driven the car.
Mm.
And I went in there with an open mind and I walked away sold on what is a 700,000 Rand hatch. I mean, it screams pricey.
Yes.
But it is a fantastic car. Okay, let's give you the nitty-gritty. 2.3-litre four-cylinder EcoBoost engine.
That's the same as the one in the Mustang.
Same as the one in the Mustang, yeah. Now, the one in the Mustang makes 233 kilowatts. This makes 257 kilowatts.
Sure.
So still, they've fettled it a little bit. It's got different intake, different turbocharger. The cooling's different because now it's transversely mounted and not longitudinally mounted.
Yeah.
And it's all-wheel drive. RS, for the first time, is all-wheel drive. Now, the reason why I think I connected to this, my favorite car of all time is a Ford. I'm not a Ford fan, but I love the Ford RS200. It was a Group B Evolution car around the time we were talking about Group B Rally and that sort of stuff. And that car was just absolutely mind-blowing for me. And this is very much that same. It's a punchy, just over a 2-liter four-cylinder motor, all-wheel drive. It sends it to different wheels. So fantastic, fantastic package. It's a Group B car in the millennium. 257 kilowatts is still over 100 kilowatts per liter. Not 100 horsepower per liter, 100 kilowatts per liter. That is properly strong. All-wheel drive system, no DCT, no automatic available in the Focus RS.
So they want you to have fun.
You have to row your own gears, okay? Yeah. You need to be a part of the experience. And thank you, Ford. I'm sitting here and I'm bowing down to you. It makes you feel like Ken Block.
That's, you know what else makes you feel like...
And you can do it. I stalled it. I'm going to admit, I stalled it the first time I climbed into it because the clutch is now properly heavy and you can feel, ooh, performance clutch. I climbed out of a VW Polo and it was like buttery smooth. Climbed into this and was like, I was like, okay, that's not exactly...
That's a good start,
that's
Chad.
That's a fantastic start. But I'll fall on my sword there. And in any case, drove that and we put it through its paces. We did a bit of an outrider and we compared it to the 2.3 Mustang. Chalk and cheese, hey, two completely different animals despite having the same motor. We did a little bit of track handling stuff and we sampled them. We did a bit of a model walk with them where we went into, we climbed in a Fiesta ST around this little track. It's not a full-blown racetrack, but a little place where we could give it a little bit of beans. Then climbed into a Focus ST and then we climbed into, we were supposed to climb into a Mustang, but I skipped the Mustang because I wanted to go straight from Focus to Focus.
Yeah.
So from Focus ST to Focus RS. And I can tell you now that the runt of the litter is that Focus ST.
Sure.
The Focus ST is the runt of the litter. The Fiesta ST, what a cracking package.
Because when they bought these cars out,
absolute value for money.
The ST was the kind of the premium.
It was. But now the RS was sort of developed before, and then the ST was made like a little brother sort of thing and sold to the public beforehand while they finished developing the RS. The RS is in there, and I'll tell
you
what.
It's like, buy this while the better package is coming.
While the better package is coming.
You can try it and make more money out of it.
Pretty much. And I'll tell you what, it turns and changes direction absolutely beautifully. It's a fantastic, fantastic system that they've got going there in terms of torque vectoring and transferring power. Now, I can transfer the power from being 100% front-wheel drive to being 70% rear-wheel drive and 30% front-wheel drive.
And
you know, depending on the slip.
Yeah.
Drift.
It's got a drift mode.
That's amazing.
You put it into drift mode and you climb into a corner. You power
and
onto it.
That is the selling part.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm telling you now.
Boy.
Straight
oh
into
boy.
Billy the Bums.
And not with a handbrake. You just go in there and it starts understeering, but you just plant the throttle. As soon as it starts understeering, pushing the nose a little bit, plant the throttle, the tail steps out. You can't do a normal rear-wheel drive drift with it, but I've got video here and we're going to try and upload it in there.
Okay, I have to ask this. I'm going to be the one asking this. Yeah. I hope they are giving training with this.
They'd need to. I would say that they would need to.
Because I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out
while
there.
While it's a capable vehicle in terms of all its aids, too many
this
guys are going
to
experiment
into
with
trouble.
This.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, as far as I understand it, 300 cars countrywide. That's
correct,
our,
yes,
that's our allotment
cars.
from Ford.
And you know what? It's not like they don't have some of the best on their team, Ford.
Yeah.
Because you know Gary Famata and them.
Absolutely.
Why are they not
the
doing this?
I mean,
it's bringing me back to what we when we was discussing the youth, for example. So, I mean, who's going to be buying this?
The younger, typical
go.
IT guys,
the ones
that,
who don't get
guys that have seen all six.
Well, they're
going
to have to fight because
700k. That is a hell of a lot of money.
But but profile wise, it'll be younger that can afford it. That's
it's a lot of money.
Not going to have the experience.
You got the guys out there that are buying A45 AMGs, RS3s, and Golf R's, and that's who this is going up against.
I suppose you're right. These guys aren't married yet. They're single apartments, and they've got money
but
to
I'll
burn.
Bring
and
it back
says
to the fact there's
drift.
Only 300 of them, and how many of them have been sold already?
Virtually all of them spoken for.
You see, I mean, I really...
The waiting,
we have to talk to them.
The waiting list was... I know we were talking about it last year. That before the car has even made it to our shores, there's a waiting list of 6 months.
So, I mean, a lot of those are just going to be flipper buyers.
Yeah.
Okay?
They're going to
buy it and sell it on for a premium.
And make some
money. And make some money. So there's a lot of people there that have got that and they do that. And it's a little unfair to say that all 300 are spoken for then because those aren't really going to drivers. Those are going to businesses. So, any case. 700,000 rand. I can just... justify it, even if the interior is very much the most disappointing part of it. Because it's not a, it's like the Subaru Impreza mentality, the WRX mentality. You're not buying it for the way the interior looks and feels. You're buying it for the engineering.
For the drift.
You're buying it for... No, just for the way that it drives. And it drives really well. Okay, unfortunately, we need to cut that one short. My first drive review and impression is up on our website. So you're going to go and read more about that there. And we're going to have a little bit of...
price. Oh, you said 700. 700. Color.
Where have you been?
Sorry, man.
Any color you want.
White.
Pink.
As long as it's
white,
blue.
White, black. Yeah. But the best one is the nitro blue. It's a nice light blue. All right. Okay. We only got a couple of minutes, so we need to move on to our review. And our review for this week, our video review for this week, is the Audi A4. Sorry, it's a little bit of a buzzkill because, well, the new A4 is a bit of a buzzkill. Sorry, Audi, you've pooched it here.
Have they really?
They really have.
I lost the plot. That hurts me, because I'm a massive fan.
And I know, Vulnery is as well. You drive. Well, drove a B8?
I had the
B7,
A4.
B8. Can you recall B7. Which... B7. I think you had the B7 S4.
Yes. Yeah. No, the S4 I've got now.
No, okay.
I still have.
Oh, yes, yeah, that's the B8. You've got the B8 S4.
Yes.
And they had the B7
I
A4.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So you know your A4s, okay? And this B9, now the replacement, it's just disappointing. I'm sorry. It's disappointing. There's no other way to put it. I'm trying to think of a word that is still being kind to Audi because it's a fantastic product. It's a great product. But
it's almost like they were forced to get the next one out, but weren't quite sure.
You know what they did? They put the B8 into a photocopier. They hit 105% and made a copy.
Ooh.
Make no mistake. It is a brilliant car. It's brilliantly engineered.
Fantastic.
It is
wonderfully trimmed.
And it's quiet and no rattles. But it feels like you're driving a microwave. I'm sorry.
It is.
Just soulless.
A microwave?
It feels like a toaster. It feels like an appliance.
Explain that in terms...
Cars will talk to you.
Yes.
Okay.
This thing has nothing to say.
This one had nothing to say.
Okay, so there's nothing new. What would you change if you could?
The styling. The styling is way too similar to the B8 that it replaces.
Okay.
They've tweaked bits and pieces here. They say it's more aerodynamic and it's now lightest in class. They've saved like 120 kilograms and it's got more space inside. And I'm sitting there, I'm looking at it and I'm like, if you don't put that right next to its old one, I'm not going to be able to tell that is the new one. And then the money that you've spent on it is almost... It's for somebody that wants to glide right under the radar, that's not looking to make a song and dance, a fuss about it.
But they want to let
And if he buys a white one in an automatic, he's probably ready to die because he's lost the will to live. Okay?
Just like that.
Yeah, no, just like that. Just like that. Sadly, it's just massively disappointing in that it doesn't...
Look, 120 kilos is a lot for a car
similar. And that means that it's got great performance.
How did
Clever
they do
use
that?
Of aluminium in the construction.
Because that's another person.
Two people almost, sometimes two people. So that's a massive saving. Mm. Does wonders for the economy, does wonders for the performance. And you don't really need to talk
boring.
Too much about, but it's sadly boring. It's not an inspiring drive. It's not. There's no sense of occasion. And sadly for the price, it's a little
Bleh.
A little missed. I felt more from C-classes and from 3 Series BMWs. So it's a fantastic product. Don't get me wrong.
Do you think this is like an old man's car then? Have they gone...
It's for somebody that's a little more business orientated.
Yeah.
Somebody that is an executive, that's not wanting to make a song and dance about it. Somebody that wants a daily drive that's inconspicuous. Somebody that doesn't like drawing attention
to
themselves.
Just fly under the radar.
Fly under the radar, but he wants quality.
Yeah,
because
100%.
It is. The car oozes quality. Yeah. It really does. You can no longer get the Multitronic CVT gearbox. And
I have to throw
thing.
This
Thank
in
you.
There. Remember, you guys have been exposed to some exciting stuff in the last 2 weeks. Maybe. Yeah.
No,
maybe.
We did this long before.
I was just saying maybe
back.
You're being a bit judgmental.
On the back of what is out there at the moment. No,
okay.
we had to be pretty fair about it. All right, we need to wrap things up. But we drove the 1.4 and that one in Sportline trim, 505,000 is the current pricing, which is a little stiff. And of course, once you spec that, you can add another 80, 90... K to it. So you can customize it, but you're not customizing too much on the outside. And sadly, it's the outside that really needs a lot of customizing. Right, folks, that's all the action that we've got for you this week. We will be back next week with the same sort of motoring power hour happening on a Wednesday. I want to thank all the guys for joining us. Lawrence, thank you. Ty,
pleasure.
Thank you.
Cheers,
and Vulnery,
always a pleasure.
So chat with us, get in touch with us on all our social media channels, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, individually or at AutoTrader SA. I want to thank you very much for joining us. We'll chat to you next time. Good night. Bye-bye.
Auto Central, powered by AutoTrader on Cliff Central.
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.